Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay for a Straight Wives Show. And Dolly, are you there?
I am.
Okay, first we have to apologize because my computer went down, wouldn't start up. So we apologize to all of our listeners who sit here waiting each week to hear us. And if you hear Dolly's voice, you know that's not Misty, because unfortunately Misty couldn't be with us this evening. She has a really bad virus, so I told her, take the night off. And our friend Dolly was kind enough to volunteer to help me co-host this show tonight. So Dolly, as I'm sitting here in a panic, thank you so much for waiting.
Oh, you're welcome.
And for giving up, because even though people who are listening live may be wondering what happened, certainly people listen to the archives all week long, so they'll get to hear us from the start of the show. So welcome to all of our listeners to the Straight Wives Talk Show, the show that helps women understand the complexities of straight gay marriages, because for sure there's a lot of complexities when we talk about that. Aren't there, Dolly?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So much.
I know, and you are definitely one of the most articulate people when it comes to expressing so many of the issues that so many of our women are struggling with. And, you know, I think that one thing that we've learned, because you've been part of my support network for a number of years now, many, right?
Yes.
Thinking back. And mm-hmm. You even wrote for, you know, one of our books, right?
Yes.
About your story. And even though the marriage has been over for a long time, the recovery is always a long period, I say. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, my goodness, Bonnie. When I first found my ex-husband out to be gay, I thought I couldn't put one foot in front of the other. I was just so devastated. That is all that I could think of. I tried to take college classes, went back to school, but I could not concentrate. There was one class, accounting, and I literally, from the time I got up in the morning on Saturday, all day long Saturday, all day long Sunday, I tried and tried to concentrate on that class to get a good grade in it, and I tried so hard, and I could not concentrate.
And I think, you know, when we go through this, it's just a matter that you're never quite living in a world of reality. It's a world that you have to put your mind into. I mean, I was reading some past things that I'd written earlier today about that time in my life when, you know, I just made it through each day. I put one foot in front of the other, and I know I had to survive it, but I didn't want to have to think about it. You know, it was just such a painful time. And, you know, even though it's so many years later, you know, you can always revert back to that time. You know, it just takes one little incident to kind of prick that memory and, you know, make you feel that way all over again. I don't think that's something that totally ever goes away. What about you?
I was just at church today. And, you know, really, it's always in the back of my mind. It's always there. And it has been at least 4 years since I found him out. And I thought when I first found him out, okay, maybe I'll get over this in a year or so. It's been 4 years. And I have to tell you that I think about it whenever I'm not thinking, concentrating on something else. It just comes to my mind. Multiple times throughout every day.
And I think that, and we're going to discuss this in a minute, if anybody would like to call in and talk with me or Dolly, I do want to give you our number here. It's area code 646-716-4893. And, you know, I really feel that I try to be very fair-minded on both sides, Dolly, and you know that. You
mm-hmm.
know, I certainly understand the struggles that, you know, gay men go through. And I know for many of them it really is heart-wrenching, but I just always feel they never quite get what we're going through, you know, on some level. Some of them don't get it at all.
No,
and I know that
you were in a
bad marriage, you know, which isn't necessarily your typical marriage. I mean, yours was really much worse than most people that I've, you know, met over the years. in the sense that there wasn't physical abuse or domestic violence of the sort where, you know, you have, you know, bruises all over your face, but this man just emotionally pounded you down.
Yes, and I was talking to a friend of mine who was both physically and emotionally abused growing up. And she said, she's in her late 50s now, and she said, you know what, I can forget, I even forget about the physical abuse, but I will never forget all the emotional abuse. She says that is by far worse.
And I think maybe if you could tell a little bit about your story, you know, when you got married, how old were you then?
Okay, my ex-husband was in the Air Force. He was a C-130 navigator stationed at McChord Air Force Base in Washington State. And we met in 1977, 78 time frame. We got married in 1979. And we moved to Germany for a couple of years. And then we've been all over. But relationship-wise, it was always just seemed kind of funny to me. We didn't have the normal, playful, fun-loving relationship you see most lovers have. It was much more dry. I knew that he had a bachelor's in science and chemistry, and I just chalk it up to, well, he's very intelligent. And so he doesn't seem to be fun-loving, but that's okay. You know, it was, I accepted that. And then when he asked me...
Did you ever think he was going to become a different person? You know, like maybe he would loosen up once you got married, or...
Yes, you always are hopeful that, you know, because I was a fun-loving type, and I thought that he would come around that way, but really he more quenched that part of me. And that's the sad part that I'm going to have to really work on getting back as the fun-loving person that I used to be. When he asked me to marry him, he didn't really ask. We went to dinner, and he opened the little ring box, and he said, so what do you think about this? And I said, oh, it's very beautiful. He says, I've grown to care for you deeply. And I said, as I have you. But still, I knew this isn't right.
It didn't feel right.
Yeah, it just didn't feel right. There was no, I love you. There was no, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. This was just missing, but I thought he was kind of shy.
I think a lot of times we blame ourselves, Dolly, but, you know, the truth is that even if we think something's off, you know, like, I don't think I've ever discussed this before, but before I married my gay husband, I was going with a man, I guess it was in my mid-20s, who was a doctor. And I had gone with him when I was in high school, my senior year. And in my senior year, I mean, he was the most gorgeous guy that you could ever imagine. And I wasn't one of the most popular girls, but we hooked up, and he was really very nice to me. And I couldn't imagine that he'd even be interested in me because he had so much going with the captain of his swimming team. He wrote the yearbook for his, you know, advanced accelerated school. And yet he had a good time with me. We had a good time together. We had sex together. But something was always kind of missing. And I think I thought a lot like you did, you know, well, when I was 17 years old and doing this, I didn't realize what it was. But we tried to hook up again 6 years later. And finally, you know, we hooked up again, you know, when I was 25 years old, and he had become a doctor by then, an oncologist. And, you know, I was practically moving in with him, even though I knew in my heart that something was off. But because he was so smart and intellectual like your husband, I thought, well, maybe that's just how they are.
Yeah. Yeah, you do find yourself making excuses for him right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't want to really face what is wrong. What is wrong? And come to terms with that with a conversation with him.
So you got married, and how old were you then?
I was 26 when we got married and moved to Germany, and he was okay over there. We had a lot of fun. We went traveling, and then one day, it was 1982, 83, he just came home from where he had been flying and walked down the hallway and just said, "Well, I think it's time that you get pregnant." And he did not even look at me. He said this as he was walking down the hall. And I thought then, wow, this is how you ask your wife that you want to have a child with her?
Mm-hmm.
That was weird. They're just all kinds of little weird things. You can think back now that you know, it's all the stuff that comes once after you have discovery. All the things that didn't seem right are now explained.
Was he very controlling?
Yes, and in different senses. Monetarily, yes. He definitely held the purse string.
Mm-hmm.
But although I had a credit card, I could spend what I want, but he knew that I wouldn't be stupid in spending. I, you know, went to the grocery store, got groceries, and I'd buy, you know, clothes when we needed them, but nothing ever extravagant or not necessary. I have never been one to go get my nails done or a pedicure or, you know, any of that stuff. My mom and dad were raised through the Depression years, and they really taught me sound financial stuff, and like, if you ever want to be rich, you have to live poor.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized that from the get-go, and I just made do with what I had, and I was always happy with what I had. My necessities were met, and that's all I ever needed. And I think that's one of the things that he recognized in me, too, when he was looking for someone to marry.
Now, how about when you had your first child? Was he excited about that, or?
He was excited, but, you know, when I was, like, 8 months pregnant, or all through the pregnancy and before, that was the time I would come right out and say, "I love you." And all he said was, "Uh-huh." And then after my daughter was born, I just quit saying, "I love you," because that's all I ever heard back.
So in all those years, he never was able to say
you love
you.
He was excited about the birth of our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to actually helping during those really, I was nursing her every 2 hours during the middle of the night. I was sleep deprived, and he didn't care. He just went about his business and went off on, you know, the Air Force, they call it TDY, their business trips.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be gone a week, 2 weeks, whatever. And I lived at that time in a high-rise apartment building in Frankfurt, the 16th floor of a high-rise apartment building with a dog that had to go outside and a new baby in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very difficult to get the dog outside and bundle the baby up and and him gone, you know. And even when he was there, it was like, that was my job. I just, you know, it was like, he wasn't an active partner. He was just kind of there, and we interacted somewhat and watched TV, and he talked about the places he'd been, and so on, but I don't know, it was on a different level. It was just a different level.
Was it, how about the aspect of sex? How was that?
I remember sex was okay. It just lacked the passion that
mm-hmm.
I was hoping for, the, you know, the truly I love you kind of, I would put my arm around him in bed and, you know, hug on him or something, and he'd direct my hand down to his penis. You know, there was never any, you know, like, he would, like, if I were laying there, he would never put his arm around me. If there was any, contact, I would have to put my arm around him. And after a while, so long, it's like, all right, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to be the initiator all the time. And so I stopped, and so did he.
Did you feel, that, you know, that it was like he was sexually avoiding you?
Not
like,
really.
Like, if you didn't make the first move, was he making it?
No, no, he wouldn't. No. And so, like I said, that went on for a while, but then I got tired of that. And I, you know, I don't beg. I don't beg for that, for sex. I, you know, I have that much self-respect left that if I just figured he just didn't want to. And I didn't know the reason. I did not think that at that time, thank goodness, I didn't think that it was me.
So in other words, you didn't feel like a sense of sexual rejection?
No, I really didn't in the beginning. We occasionally had sex, and like I said, it was okay. It just lacked passion, so I wasn't really thrilled about if I missed it or didn't had it or didn't have it. It really didn't matter to me. And
was it somewhat mechanical?
Yeah, yeah. And then once our second child was born, sex just ended. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
No more.
Well, I think that when any woman has to feel like she has to keep asking for it, you know, it's really kind of degrading and does take away your sexual sense of sexual esteem. I know.
Well, yes, especially since I was the initiator. For just plain affection. When I put my arm around him, that didn't necessarily mean I wanted sex. I just wanted to show him affection.
So, in all the years that you were with him, how many times did you hear him say, I love you?
None. Actually, once on the phone. He was a hot air balloon pilot, and we lived in Albuquerque. And he was over at some friend's house, and the one older lady was giving him some flight instruction, and I guess they had a small gathering there. And he had called home, and I guess these ladies were giving him a hard time when he said goodbye. He didn't say, I love you. And they said, yeah, you tell her you love her. And then he said, oh, I love you. That was the only time, because he only did it because the other ladies told him to.
So that was one time in how many years?
We were married 27 years.
One time in 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess you just felt that he wasn't the affectionate type of person, or...
Well, yeah, I know my brother, you know, and I kind of accepted my ex-husband for not being affectionate, because I remember my mom and dad, I think my brother had was autistic or something. I don't think it was fully diagnosed, but they always talked about my brother and how he kind of lacked emotion. You know, he was a good guy, but, and so I just chalked it up to that. Maybe some guys just aren't, you know, or maybe we're expecting them to be more emotional than guys are supposed to be. That's what I chalked it all up to.
Through those years, was there any suspicion in your mind that he might be gay?
Absolutely not, because I always thought that physically you could spot them. I really did. I thought, well, why would I ever even think that? Because what in the world would a gay man want with a straight woman? It just didn't make sense to me, so I didn't even go there.
So a lot of it was just a misconception of what gay is. And I know
Yes.
that when I was, you know, growing up and into my 20s, and even when I got married, I certainly didn't understand it. I really thought that gay people, I mean, the fact that you're gay meant that you wanted to go with someone of the same sex. So why would somebody marry me if they were gay?
Exactly. My head didn't even wrap that, the possibility in it at all.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, did he have any girlfriends before you?
Yeah, he did in college.
Mm-hmm. Did you know any of them?
I'm sorry?
Did you know any of them?
I knew the one in college because after college, we all got together a couple of different times. He was close because he studied chemistry and there weren't very many chemistry majors. And so the chemistry majors all got together and did their homework together all through college. So they became a pretty close-knit group. So after college, after we were married, we drove to wherever they were, the meeting and so on. I met her, and I know that I knew that they had dated. And so I don't know exactly what happened, but they broke up. And later, when we were in Germany, about 3 years after we were married, she was killed in a car accident. Mm-hmm. And he wept. It's about the only time in all those years, except when our dog died, that I saw him weep.
Well, so this went on for a number of years, his lack of emotionalism. How was he with the children? Did he seem really involved with them?
Disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Disconnected. He would not. I worked in the evenings when my son was 3 years old, and I hated that job because I couldn't be home with my kids in the evening more. And the reason I dreaded to go to work was because I knew that he would ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he would ignore them. And here I am going off to work in the evening. And sure enough, you know, I told him, you know, you should read to our three-year-old. He really loves it. And I'd asked my older daughter, well, you know, time and time again, did your father read to Mark? And she said, no, what'd he do? I don't know. They both learned to just, it was like three people, well, all of us, just, they were all separate entities in the house.
Mm-hmm.
We were never a close-knit family. He was gone a lot because of his career. And, you know, my son and I became close. My daughter, I don't know, she was very artistic, so she'd go to her room, she taught herself the computer, and she taught herself drawing, and she just became, and then she had her friends over, and that, yeah, there was something wrong just at the base level of this dysfunctional family from the get-go.
Did your children notice anything?
I don't know. I found it very strange that I was one of the lucky ones that my ex-husband did come out of the closet only because he had to, given his secret government clearance, he was forced to. And prior to that, I told my adult, by then adult daughter, that I thought he was gay, and her and her husband thought I was dreaming it.
Mm-hmm.
Until this document came out from his lawyer where he admitted he's gay. What I found strange about that was they read this document of his admission, and it was like telling them the sky is blue.
Mm-hmm.
There was absolutely no surprise, no expression. And to this day, I wonder, I asked her, did you know already?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would think. If they knew already, then I could understand the no expression of this document. But if they really, truly did not know, I would expect them to have some reaction when they read it.
Well, maybe on some level they did know. I mean, you know, certainly kids today are pretty astute, and they certainly understand what life is supposed to be. There's enough television shows, you know, where they see loving couples together and having fun and laughing and laying together and being affectionate. And they certainly never saw that in your marriage, right?
Right, yep.
So, I mean, they must have known that something was wrong and that, you know, it wasn't a connected family. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, I think the children really sense this in a marriage.
Well, my son did. He was younger. He was in high school when I found out, and he showed visible shock. And this was before we knew for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I told him after I looked at phone records and called this number, and I said, I think he's gay. And mm-hmm. my son was shocked, but he believed me. He said, yeah, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. At least to put some of the pieces together for him.
Mm-hmm.
And how exactly did your husband go about telling you this?
Well, telling me that he's gay or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, well, it first started with he asked for a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out why, you know, okay, if we're having problems, why don't we just go and to a counselor? You know, and he didn't want to do that. He just told me that I should find someone else. He didn't love me. He never did. I said, why'd you marry me? I don't know, was his response. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't have empathy, and I don't know where to get it. And just sociopathic utterings that made me think he really was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised when he asked you for a divorce?
I was. I knew that he was getting more and more strange. I mean, we couldn't even sit and watch a TV show together. He was always, he wasn't coming home as often. We lived in one place and he worked in another, and he had to commute by plane. We only come home on the weekends. And even those couple days a week, he was so disconnected. He was always in his office, on his computer, out in the shop, working outside, whatever, just so that he wasn't around his family.
And did your children notice his lack of presence there?
Oh, yes. And not only that, but his behavior. Towards the end, he just, even to the kids, he was just emotionally almost abusive. My son was in tears a couple of times from what he said. And my daughter just moved out. She just moved back with her friends where she grew up. Before this all came together.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah,
when
it
you
was
found,
not pretty. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. So you found, so when you actually found out, you know,
yeah,
the things
through phone, yeah, through
sense.
Phone records, I found out, I called the number and it said, hi, this is Steve. Leave a message. And I put the phone records away, actually, for like a month. I just thought it was some guy he works with. So then I called another person I knew that knew my ex. And he says, no, Stephen went to dinner one time. I don't know anything about him, but he works for Southwest Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, that's what hit me. Bam. And that's when I knew. So I confronted him and I said, so how long have you and Stephen been a number? And he told me, none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, wow, I'm your wife and it's none of my business. Huh?
It seems
so
like
that's
he was not only, you know, like I say, very detached, but he really was very cruel to you and to the children. And, you know, I often say to you that he's not typical in many ways of the husbands that marry our wives, because usually I really do believe in my heart that most gay men who get married, they really do love their wives the best that they can. And they really do try. I mean, he didn't try at all.
No. I really think because, you know, the any of the services up until recently with the don't ask, don't tell policy going out, I really think you'll find more and more of these type servicemen marrying for a cover.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they want their Air Force career or Army or Marine or whatever service they're serving in, they need a cover. And
well,
I even
just,
asked
can't they just stay
another,
single?
it would raise suspicion if he stayed single.
Yeah, I don't think
it
as
was,
much
it,
today as, you know, 25, 30 years ago.
Oh,
yes.
Back then when we were married, it would have definitely raised a lot of suspicion if he did not marry. As a matter of fact, I asked another retired officer that who I knew as well. I said, after discovery, I asked her, did you think that he was gay? And he said, she said, well, when I first met him, I thought so, but then I met you and the kids, and then I didn't think it anymore. There you go.
Well, that's so true. You know, people just don't really understand it. I mean, we don't understand it, and we're living it. So certainly other people, you know, are clueless also. And it's kind of like I had one woman writing, you know, to me this weekend who was going through some tough times, and, you know, she was mentioning about, you know, the family alienation, you know, of a husband's family. And then, you know, finally somebody says to her, well, you know, we knew he was gay, but we were surprised when he married you, so we thought he was giving up that lifestyle. And I hear that so often, you know, that when I always say that, you know, mothers usually have the sense when their children are gay. And so if they see the child's getting married, they think, oh, you know what, you know, it's just a passing thing, and now he's getting married, everything's going to be fine, and he'll be fixed. And
yeah.
So I think that if that's from a family who senses it, you certainly can't, you can understand where other people, you know, feel that way, that they must not be gay, they have a wife and children.
Yeah, well, I think that's the reason why we were moving all the time. I know that some of these Air Force moves were not mandatory, even though he told me they were. Now that I know about him, what I think is maybe he was, someone was getting too close to discovering him. Because really, he could have been kicked out of the Air Force and and charged with dereliction of duty.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have a number of military wives, as I like to call you. And then, you know, women whose husbands are in the service. And, you know, once again, I'm not quite sure if all of them are quite in your situation because your husband really went deliberately out, you know, because he needed a wife. I think in some of these cases, these are younger people, and I think their husbands are trying not to be gay and hoping that if they marry someone who they can love, that, you know, will be some kind of magical genie that can, you know, make all of those feelings go away. But, you know, certainly it is an issue because of the, you know, government policy of, you know, if they do find out, there's certainly repercussions. And a lot of men are very nervous about that, which is why I think they, you know, military men really keep it to themselves more. But, you know, women do find out. I mean, eventually, you know, a lot of women who are married to military men do find out. And then it's a matter, they have to go through the, you know, juggling in their heads, should they say anything? If they say anything, then they're going to lose their pensions and everything they worked for all these years. You know, it becomes a real financial conflict as well.
Well, exactly. If I would have found out years prior when he was still in the service that he was gay, with being charged with dereliction of duty, getting kicked out, he also would have lost his pension. And therefore, I would have lost half of his pension, too.
Exactly. So that would have had to be, you know, an important factor. Now,
well, I'm glad it didn't happen that way because that would have been true mental torture.
I mean, I know this sounds like a little funny to ask you this question, but because we haven't talked about this before. But, And looking back now, in retrospect, after everything came together and you found out that he's involved with, you know, somebody new, do you think throughout your marriage that he was out there doing things?
Throughout the whole marriage? Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. When we were in Germany, just a couple of years after we were married, when we were in Germany, I got a call in the middle of the night from a couple of giddy German girls asking for him by name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, at that time, was he having sex down in Frankfurt with women? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it men? I don't know. I have no idea. But I do know that when I was in my 8th month of pregnancy with my son, I found condoms in his jacket pocket, and I confronted him. And he said, well, I go downtown and see X-rated movies and jerk myself off, and the condoms catch the mess. That's what
and
he
did
told
you believe
me.
That at that time?
I did, because I thought...
I mean, it sounded logical, right?
Yeah, it sounded logical, and I knew that I would never lie to him, and I had assumed the opposite was true, for him not to lie to me, too.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, at this point, though, when you look back, do you think that he was probably out there with other guys?
I think that at some point, maybe not in Germany, I think he was still going down to Frankfurt, and maybe, I don't know, though, for sure, but since I got the call in the middle of the night from giddy German women and not a guy, maybe he's downtown Frankfurt, you know, whatever he's doing with women. But then when I found the condoms many years later in his jacket pocket, and thinking back now, maybe at some point he turned to men. I don't know.
I think, you know, from what I've heard from many men, is that in their early years, you know, when they're starting to have these stronger feelings towards men, in their hopes of, you know, making sure that's not what they are, they will go out with women because, you know, their need not to be gay is so strong that they're hoping that, you know, they can perform with other women. And I've heard this from a number of gay men, that it's not like they just jump from their wife to a man. Like, there could be a woman or two in between, and then they realize that, you know, this is not really who they are.
Uh-huh.
You know, they'll go with men. Or I have other women who have husbands who remarry, and these husbands are gay. You know, you can take it and slice and dice it however you want, because by my definition, once you have sex with a man, it's gay sex. I don't care if you have a wife. I don't care if you're sleeping with your wife. I don't care if you're seeing other women. Once you're with a man, you're having gay sex. Therefore, you are gay.
Yeah. Well, a straight guy wouldn't want that.
Well, that's what I say. And, you know, I can have all these men argue with me, well, it's just every guy thinks about it, every guy will try it. That is not the way it is.
That's not the way it is. A straight guy does not want sex with another guy, trust me.
I know. A straight man would be really appalled by that. And not to say that a straight man is homophobic. It has nothing to do with homophobia. It's just knowing who you are sexually. And that's why when I have women who write to me and they say that their husbands claim they're confused, straight men are not confused about sex.
No.
You know, I have a nice young woman who's been, you know, in touch with me. And, you know, she keeps taking it in every different direction. Well, he says that, you know, this, he says that. Today he said, well, he came back and he might have HODC, you know, homosexual obsessive disorder, to try to prove that he's not gay. You know, they'll try telling you every story in the world, you know, and it doesn't matter. It's all gay.
Yeah.
And I know that we as women, for some reason, I always say there's a prototype of woman that these gay men marry. And a lot of times women don't like to hear this because, you know, they don't want to feel like they're part of that group. But there is a either conscious or subconscious decision-making, you know, way of men picking out, you know, these wives like us as, you know, their, you know, women as their wives. It's not just a coincidence that so many of us have the same characteristics And
we're forgiving, we understand, you know.
Exactly. We're nurturing, you know,
mm-hmm.
we're the caretakers of the world. And, you know, I think a lot of these men are hoping that whatever happens, that we'll still keep taking care of them, even once the news does come out.
Yes.
But, you know, the bottom line is that it is what it is, and I keep telling women, don't try to make it into what it's not. I mean, if a man wants a penis, it's gay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if he's with women, if he's with group sex, or whatever he's with, you know, in the end, it is what it is. Do you think that's true, Phil?
Absolutely. I know I've talked to this about this with my son, and a lot of women, you know, might think, oh, you know, what about my children? What if they're gay? Or maybe they question their own sexuality now that they know that their father is gay. And I talked to my son about this, and he said, no, Mom. He said, no, Mom, I'm not gay. A straight guy knows. They know what they want, and it's not another guy.
It's not, and I think that all gay men that I've spoken to on one level or another will tell me that all their lives they knew there was something either
mm-hmm.
different about them or that they found a man attractive, even at a young age of 5 or 6 or 8 years old. And they may not have been able to pin the label homosexuality onto that or
mm-hmm.
understood what the whole concept of gay is about, but they
mm-hmm.
knew they felt some kind of attraction for men. And once again, you know, living in a world where there's a lot of homophobia, I certainly understand the need to not want to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my heart goes out to a lot of these guys who are really struggling. But my point is that, you know, I brought this up to a friend of mine the other day, and I thought this was a really important concept, and I just wanted to get your opinion, that, you know, that these men, and I do appreciate their struggle, and I really do, and they spend many years being tortured, living a life that's not theirs, but at least they know what they're dealing with. On the other side of the coin, we're sitting and struggling, wondering why our marriages are failing, and we have no clue what we're dealing with. So,
yeah, you know, and that is what is truly so abusive. It's such a mental journey that every day we question, well, did I do this right? Did I do that right? We're so busy walking on eggshells, trying to please him, because
mm-hmm.
their very room thrums when they're angry or when they're upset. And we as nurturing women want to make it right. You know, help the guy who is, you know, angry or sad or upset for some reason. And that's emotional manipulation. Oh, you can go through all the whole thing, gamut of it. And we're still stuck wondering what in the heck is going on here. And every day of our married lives, we're living a puzzle. The pieces don't fit, but we don't know. We don't have the master plan. We don't know what to do.
We're just dealing in the dark here, where at least...
Yeah.
Even though I can appreciate their struggle, they know what they're struggling with. And
yes,
I think this
identified.
Is where the disconnect is between, you know, gay husbands and straight wives. That the gay men, I mean, we can appreciate what their struggle is, but they have no clue what it's like to have to keep fighting an uphill battle that you can never win and
never
know why. So what we do instead is we internalize it. We start thinking we're doing something wrong. You know, why can't our husbands love us the way, you know, we love them? I mean, wouldn't that be a natural reaction?
Well, yes, and even in the words when he asked for the divorce, he says, we were never meant to be together. We've grown apart. And I took that as my fault.
Right. Your husband did not take any responsibility. And when I find husbands who tell me that, you know, I have to have serious chats with them because, you know, I never want to hear, well, my wife was this or my wife was that. When you're a gay husband, you don't know what your wife would have been like if she would have had the proper nurturing and support and love that a straight man would have given her. I mean, people thrive and they grow based on being loved and nurtured, held, being made love to, passion, compassion, communication. And this is what makes somebody grow. Now, if you're going to keep, you know, somebody down and keep making them question themselves and start doubting themselves, that's not the person they were meant to be to start with. So you're not living in a normal situation because you're creating an abnormal situation.
Exactly.
And that's why I always say, go ahead.
You know, well, the result is depression. When you're put down, you're depressed. And think of your children, and here you're depressed, and maybe you don't even realize it. And yet you're short with your children, only because you don't know why you're short with them either.
And it takes its whole toll on you. And a lot of women will turn to medication. They'll turn to antidepressants, because this is how they can cope and exist on walking with those eggshells. And,
yes,
you know,
or overeating, or whatever you take.
Or anorexia. I mean, I heard from a woman today, I felt so bad from her. You know, she's married to a gay man who won't say that he's gay, but he wants her to do all kinds of sexual things, you know, that are not, you know, within the norm of what we look for when we make love to somebody. And
mm-hmm.
he's into looking at transsexuals, transvestites, you know, men with penises and breasts. You know, this is what turns them on, and she keeps feeling as if she's failing him because she can't get into what she's getting into. So in the meantime, she's turned to becoming anorexic. And she said that, you know, she's lost all this weight. She's taking all kinds of medication not to hold anything down. And, you know, you think, like, you know, how do you do this to somebody, you know, without feeling like you're in the wrong at all, or making it like your husband said that, you know, we've just grown apart. I mean, this, you know, to me, part of healing is taking responsibility for what you've done. And I think, Dolly, that if your husband would have come to you and said, you know what, I screwed up here. I screwed up your life, you know, for all these years. You know, I was never the husband that you needed me to be. You were a wonderful wife, but I am what I am, and I just couldn't avoid it. Can you forgive me? Chances are you might have been able to.
Honesty. Honesty. That's all we want is honesty. We can't live their lie. If we live their lie, all the repercussions come across. The depression, the maybe going turning to overeating or alcoholism or all. These are the things that these guys have no idea of, the emotional toll that it takes on us. But if we had the honesty up front, at least we could know what we were dealing with. And it would be a horrible realization. Don't get me wrong. It would be horrible just the same. But there would be a silver lining in that. Are you going to take care of your family financially now? Are you going to own up to your mistake? Do you take your mistake as your own and not blame me? You know?
Right.
It's total difference.
You know, certainly I always tell men that, you know, if you want to do the right thing, you have to be financially and emotionally supportive to your wife. You know, it's bad enough all we're going to have to go through in our life to come as far as being single parents, as far as having many women lose their homes, they lose, you know, everything they had. You know, it's hard enough understanding that you have a husband who can never be a husband to you. But at least, you know, you could make it up by trying to be responsible in the aftermath. And responsibility to me comes first with being honest and not having to sit and blame your wife for the marriage not working out. And
I do
certainly hear stories from these guys saying, well, you don't know what a bitch my wife was, or you don't know how difficult she was, or my wife had a temper. Well, yeah, okay. Well, your wife wasn't living a normal life.
Yeah.
You know. You don't even know who your wife
would
have been.
Her reaction to the craziness that you were making the situation to be.
And that's where I think they just don't get it. You know, I think there's this disconnect, and I'm really trying to put my finger on how to connect it, you know, to make these guys understand, you know, it's not just all about you. You know, and this is kind of where it comes down to in so many cases. They just, you know, it's what they're feeling, it's what they need, it's how that they've suppressed their lives, how they gave up years of their life living a life that wasn't theirs. And they feel that if they were there providing shelter for you, putting a roof over your head, food on your table, then they were a good husband.
Yeah,
you know, they,
that's all
they just don't get it.
Yeah, and even my son, when my ex asked me for the divorce, and my son went in and asked him, why are you divorcing my mom? Mm-hmm. And all he was able to tell my son was, well, it's just been too many years. Well, here's my son so confused. He's thinking of the marriage vows because I brought him up in my religion, and it's till death do us part and in sickness and in health. And here's his father telling him it's just been too many years is why he wants to divorce me. And my son comes out and he says, isn't that what marriage is supposed to be all about?
Well, unfortunately, like I say, your son grew up with seeing that something that wasn't real to start with. And don't you think it's going to have its effect on the kids?
Oh, my goodness, it has such an effect on him. He's 20 years old now. He has not spoken to his father since he was 16 after discovery. And so many people say, oh, he's still your father. And he gets mad at that. He says, look, he may biologically be my father, but he is not my dad. My dad would have more character than to lie to me.
Well, let me ask you this question. Were they ever close?
They were never close.
Because he was too busy doing his thing and not being a dad, right?
Exactly. He'd parade down the hall of the house and out the door and sometimes not even tell us where he's going, come back an hour or so later, get into bed, watch TV, let me deal with all the kids and homework and whatever. He was disconnected. He wasn't a dad.
Right, and that's what I tell people, that a lot of times people blame the wives. Well, they're not letting their father see him, or they're doing this, holding him hostage, or they won't let him go there. But guess what? If a man is a good father, it doesn't matter whether he's gay or not. He'll be a responsible father regardless. You know, the issues that go on between a wife and a husband, you know, are totally different than a husband with a father and a child.
Mm-hmm.
But if he was never a father to start with, you know, don't expect all of a sudden now that he's going to become a great father or that the son's obligated to love him.
That's part of the thing my ex just doesn't, another thing that he just doesn't get is why his son doesn't want a relationship with him.
Does he blame you at all?
He probably does, although since we haven't spoken for 4 years, I don't know, but I'm sure he blames me.
Mm-hmm. And I think that happens a lot of times that, you know, rather than take responsibility, I'm just not being a good father. It's like, oh, well, it's my wife's fault. You know, she's the one discouraging him from, you know, having a relationship with me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That does bring back a memory. Through the divorce, I did remember getting something from his lawyer, and at that time, my son did not want to visit him, and he wanted visitation and was seeking visitation rights through his lawyer. And I remember reading in the document that since he has come out, that this has put a great strain on all of us, and he didn't think that I was making the situation more acceptable to our son.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hello, why is that my job?
Exactly. I mean, they haven't been a father for all these years, and they want you to make it the child love them.
Yeah.
And once again, a lot of these guys are distanced, and they aren't the best of fathers. And the ones who are the best of fathers, their children love them regardless of what their sexuality is.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not about your sexuality, it's about your parenting skills. Honesty, being honest.
I think a lot of kids also have a difficult time with the whole honesty concept because, you know, some of these kids know ahead of time before their mothers ever know. They're thrown in the middle. They have to become the keeper of the father's secret. They're afraid the marriage is going to break up, that, you know, their mothers are going to be terribly hurt. And that's why I tell, you know, these guys, you know, your children today are so smart. They're so in tune to what's going on. You know, they can get on the computer and run rings around all of us. You know, they're brought up on the, you know, in a computer world. And
mm-hmm.
so many of them find their father's secret lives on the computers, and they feel so, you know, stuck, and they can't move. They're paralyzed like we are in a different way because they have the knowledge that we don't even have, and they're afraid to bring it up to us.
Yeah. Oh, that would be a horrible situation. You know, thank goodness
many of our women.
My son wasn't computer literate at the time, so I did the investigating, and I found him out, and my son was playing video games right in the same room with me when I came to my realization. And I think more to myself, I said, I think he's gay out loud, more to myself at that realization.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even think, my son was sitting right there, and I really didn't even think that he would even pay attention because he was busy with his video games.
Mm-hmm.
You know how when you something, oh, I don't know, you find something out, you know, monetarily, whatever the news is, sometimes when it's a shocker, sometimes you just have to say it out loud. Like, that's what I did. I said, I think he's gay. And that's when my son tuned in, and he said, oh, my goodness. Now, yeah, I believe it.
How was your daughter able to accept it? Did she have any problem dealing with it?
She has emailed me. She has told me that she never thought what he did was right, and she cannot understand how he thinks that how he thinks he can blame me.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I still can't get how he thinks that way. She has visited him and his boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I'm sure, has visited her. Whenever we email, my daughter and I email or talk, the topic of him just never comes up. I never ask anything about him, and she never offers anything. So I really don't know to this day what their relationship is. I don't
mm-hmm.
think it's real close, but I know that they see each other and talk to each other.
No, it wasn't real close all those years, right?
No, it wasn't.
Right, so I'm sure that's not going to be turning around.
No.
Did he ever
say?
I was going to ask you, did he ever say at the end or at any time since then that he was sorry?
No. No, he... My son emailed him one time and said, you know this is all your fault. And he emailed him back, believe it or not, it is not all my fault.
Right. It's partly your fault too, right?
Yeah.
And I guess it is for marrying him. But I'm saying
yeah.
Short of that. You know, so as a few final words, I would like if you could tell women a few things, Dolly. First of all, for those women, and you've been part of my support chat network for a number of years, and you've been wonderfully supportive to so many women. When new women come to us, like, you know, they do tonight and every week, and we all have that same sense of what they're feeling. They feel stupid. They feel, mm-hmm. you know, how could they not have seen this? What do you feel about that?
Oh, my goodness. All goes back to all the years of us walking on eggshells around them. We have changed who we are to accommodate them. And so then we take on that, for some reason, that responsibility that their happiness lies on our shoulders. And when we find all of this out, we're of course devastated, but so many think it's their fault, but because you all talk about the fog, we internalize this. There's a psychological term for this. And it's a fog. It is not, it's nothing but a fog. And once you find everything out, you take time to step out of this fog and realize you were duped. You were just plain duped. They were just so manipulative. You were so trusting. And it is not your fault. It is not your fault. You were just duped.
Right. And I mean, I understand why women feel stupid, but certainly it's not a matter of being stupid. It's a matter of not understanding and not knowing. And these guys, many of them are what we call sociopathic. You know, they know how to lie. They live a lie every day.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're being who they're not every day. A lot of them are out there doing things, bringing home STDs to their wives. Uh-huh. You know, and we always tell them you do need to get checked, as hard as that is, you know, to do. You know, you just don't know. And we do have a lot of women who have HIV, AIDS, who have, you know, chlamydia, who have HPV virus for cancer, you know, all kinds of sexually transmitted diseases. And, you know, you just don't know what they're doing, because a lot of times I really do believe in my mind, you know, when they live this lie every day, they're lying a lot of times to themselves. And, you know, like people say, well, my husband's in denial. He's not in denial to himself, because he's out there doing it. He may want to deny what he is, but you can't say he's in denial if he's out there having sex with men.
Uh-uh.
You know, maybe he doesn't want to say the word gay, or maybe he wants to pretend he's straight with issues, or as long as he has a wife, how can he be gay? But
yeah.
The bottom line is that it's a matter of you can't feel stupid because you didn't know it or didn't understand it.
Exactly.
And I think you would agree with that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Now, if he would have given us disclosure from the get-go, I don't think any of us would have married him.
You know what? I think some people might have, only in the sense of still not understanding homosexuality.
That's true, too. Yes, they think that they maybe can, it's a phase, they can get out of it. And,
exactly.
But then
well,
there you go,
starting excuses
for them right from the get-go, you know?
Or they'll use that term bisexual. You know, like
yeah.
I have several women this week who wrote to me about their bisexual husbands or boyfriends and how they say, well, it's just, you know, I've done something in the past, but I love you. I'm bisexual. I don't have to do that anymore. What do you think of that?
Oh, it's just like the funniest thing I've ever heard was that one gal. I think it was on a chat, I don't know, quite a while ago. It just
mm-hmm.
struck my funny bone, but how true it is. She said she was dating some guy, and over dinner he tells her that he's not gay, but his boyfriends are. That
mm-hmm.
is such denial.
Well, it's true. I mean, these guys who are married think that they're not gay, but the guys they're dating are gay.
Yeah.
So I think that denial runs the whole gamut from, you know, kidding yourself to kidding your wife. And some
yeah.
men really do, you know, delude themselves into thinking they're not gay. Look at some of these big, you know, famous people like Ted Haggard. I mean,
mm-hmm.
who was the whole head of that whole big church movement, who even though he was caught and even though there were numerous accusations, he couldn't come out and say he's gay. He'll just say he's straight with issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have your biggest leaders who are doing this, you know,
yeah.
it's so much easier for you to fall into that same pattern because you have a role model who's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So I can see where, you know, people don't want to have to say that word, but I always tell women it doesn't matter what word you use, and you don't even have to have a title to it. You just have to know that you're not happy in a marriage because
yeah.
there are a lot of, you know, predatory guys out there who aren't gay, and I say to women, you know, don't stay in anything that doesn't feel right for you. Now,
yeah,
let me put you on the spot now, you know, because you've been so kind. But if your husband hadn't come to you and said he wanted a divorce, at some point, would you have wanted one?
It was right about that time that I was thinking the same thing, actually, just because his behavior had gotten, just so strange, just so strange. He'd put something up on the wall he had framed, and if I didn't like it, he'd get mad in a huff. He'd go out. When we were in Hawaii, he got this little tattoo on his ankle, and he acted so goofy. And some captain said he was growing a beard, and he had to tell me that, oh, she thinks I should never shave it off. And I'm thinking, well, she thinks I'm special. Why don't I think he's special? And I was like, it's just all kinds of just goofy stuff just added up. Like he was reverting back to being a stupid little grade schooler
mm-hmm.
With issues. And, you know, and I don't know. Other than just saying that everything about him was just, it was just so strange that I thought he was going crazy. And I was thinking the same thing, buddy. You know, I think this is it. So if he hadn't, I would have.
What about his family? How did they react towards you?
Well, I talked to his brother, it was almost a year after discovery, and he had come out of the closet, like, immediately once I found him out. Secret Investigative Services, OPM, had called me, I guess, because he has a top secret clearance with the government. Since he's a closeted gay, they thought that was a risk for blackmail. And so they gave him an ultimatum. You either come out of your closet, you tell all the people you know, friends, family, and then you can keep your secret clearance, or if you don't, then you lose your job and your clearance.
Wow.
So he was forced to come out. He came out right away. I told his family. I talked to his brother quite a while later, and he took him out to breakfast, and Mike told me that he had told him he's gay, and he says, I had just taken a sip of coffee. I'm darn most choked on it.
Did his brother have any idea?
No, and he said, as a matter of fact, that her sister came to my ex's brother weeks earlier and said, is Larry acting kind of gay lately to you?
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost like the crescendo of him going so crazy and them thinking the sister anyway, thought he was all of a sudden gay. And then his admission to his brother and mom and dad, everybody, friends, all at the same time because he had to. But yes, it was. The brother told me that the mother was surprised. The brother, like I said, just about choked on his coffee. But the sister noticed a few things odd about him just a few weeks before he came out.
So you really feel that they really didn't know?
They didn't know. I really do.
So have they accepted him?
Yeah, they have. So have his friends.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know what he told them? This is a recent thing. He just discovered he's gay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's not all his fault. So they accepted him.
Mm-hmm.
So. Uh-huh.
Do you think they blame you in any way?
No, I don't think they do. It had been months since discovery, and when I called his brother and I said, you know, out of everybody, I really thought you and your wife would have called me.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of were ashamed of themselves that they didn't call me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone blamed me from his family. But they certainly didn't blame him because of what he told them, that this was just a recent thing.
Mm-hmm. these situations are just so complex, Dolly, and that's why I tell people that there's no quick fix to this. And women who are going through this recovery period, it could take quite a while because no matter how, I think a lot of it depends on how your marriage was to start with, how long you were involved in the marriage, how many years you were married, and how much you had to sacrifice, and how the husband reacts to you once the marriage is over.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer that forgiveness has to be earned, that you just can't forgive someone because, they've done something wrong. That,
mm-hmm.
If a man can be honest and upright with his family and say, you know what, I'm so sorry, this is not how I was hoping it would be, but this is just how it worked out. But, please forgive me for all the things that I did to screw things up along the way. And how can I help you now get past this?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would work so much better than someone who's just going to say, well, it wasn't a great marriage anyway. We grew apart or, you were distanced or you didn't want to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Making a million excuses, everything except the truth.
Yeah,
there's
very few men, and I don't understand why there are so very few men who can't accept the responsibility of what they've done and be honest. You'll find most of them will blame the wives, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, you know, I'm very fortunate. I have some wonderful men coming to me. I guess the guys who write to me, and, you know, I get maybe 8 or 10 every week of gay men who want help in coming out to their wives. But I think the fact that they're even coming to me shows that they're feeling some remorse, and they want to know what's the right way to go and how can they do it the right way. You mm-hmm. know, and I really admire them, and I work with them all the time, you know, as much as I can until, you know, they're at the point where they have to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And my heart does go out to them because many of them are torn. But, you know, these are only a few, a little drop in the bucket compared to all the ones that I'll never hear from, because they're looking for an easy way out, or they're mm-hmm. looking not to have to be honest or to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, they never took it throughout their whole marriages. They're certainly not going to take it now. Or they'll make excuses, you know. And I had this conversation the other day with a friend of mine, and, you know, he said to me, well, a lot of men aren't willing to give up their marriages or to be honest about it until they go out there and they find out if this is really what they want. But I think that's, you know, not necessarily the case. I don't think you have to be out there, you know, having sex with guys, you know, for, you know, 5 or 10 years till you decide, yeah, this is really what I want. I mean, I do have men who come to me who honestly haven't gone out there yet, but they know that they're gay.
Uh-huh.
You know, they know that they can't perform with their wives. They know that they want a man. And, you know, it's a very sad situation, but they realize that they're not going to do anything until they leave their marriage. And
yeah.
I really have respect for those guys who do that.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. Don't they really know by puberty? I mean, I'm straight. I mean, and I knew, I mean, in fifth grade, I kind of liked the boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never thought I kind of liked that girl. No.
Yeah, I think they all know on some level, but they're all, you know, that most of them who get married are certainly hoping that they're not going to have to stay that way if they can find a woman to love.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand all those pressures, but there comes a point where you can't just keep dragging it out. You just have to be honest and do the right thing.
Exactly. You know,
that's what I would expect men to do. And I think that if they could do the right thing, then, you know, women could heal that much faster.
Oh,
don't you feel
yeah.
like you would have healed faster if at least you had that on your, you know, going for you?
Oh, yes. I mean, if he could have just said, you know, I'm sorry, instead of I don't have empathy and I don't know where to get it. What do you do with that?
Well, like I say, yours was really among the worst of the worst, I must say. You know, and there were so many other horrible things, and that brings me to the point of telling people that, you know, you're very generous in telling your story. We're going to have our new book coming out this summer, Straight Wives, Shattered Wives, Part 2. And we have dozens of women who are going to be writing for this book also, because I always feel that all of us have such different situations, but we all have the same emotional impact. And it doesn't matter whether you had a good marriage or a bad marriage. In the end, you know, you're still losing that marriage and losing what you thought was going to be your marriage.
Yeah.
And it leaves a lot of the same emotional scarring. You see so many of the women who come into our chat room, everybody, no matter whether they had a good marriage or a bad marriage, they all feel the same way.
Yeah.
So I think the more that women can connect to each other, you know, the better it's going to be. And your story is certainly one of the most compelling that I've ever heard, Dolly. I mean, you really had to endure more than most women I'll ever hear from. And it's such a tribute to you that you were able to stay strong through all of this and not totally break down and move on in your life with tremendous strength, courage, and dignity. And, you know, that's some of the qualities about you that I love.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. It has been very hard, especially since he was a sociopath. And then you have to watch for, you know, post-trauma. Who do you have? You know, sociopaths want to isolate their victims. They want to take you away from your support group, your family, your friends. And that's what mine did. He moved me all around every year or two. Move, move, move. I never had a support group. I never had close friends. And then when he left me, I was totally alone. I had no one. My mom and dad had died. My sister died. I had no close friends.
And I think that's one of the traits that, you know, a lot of our women, you know, gay husbands who are trying so hard to control that secret, mm-hmm. you know, and I hear this so often from women, they keep me moving because they're afraid
yeah.
that if they stay anywhere too long, you know, their secret's going to come out. You'll get friendly with someone. You're going to tell somebody. So
mm-hmm.
they're just isolating you from one place to the next, and you're never anywhere long enough to get to that point. And that's how much in control some of these men have to be to keep their secrets.
Yes.
I always tell women, if your husband wants you to keep moving, you have to start wondering why. I mean, you know, that's
yeah.
not... And I mean, you were wondering, weren't you?
Oh, all along I was wondering. You used to tell me all these... And I thought they were bogus excuses, like, we have to move to Saudi Arabia, or I have to go to Saudi Arabia for 2 years, but you and the kids could stay in our house.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what kind of husband and father wants to move away from his family for 2 years? And I said, you have to go to Saudi Arabia? No, he says, but if you don't ask to go to an overseas assignment after you've been CONUS, I guess, within the U.S. for so many years, then the Air Force will send you to where they want you to go, and you don't have a choice then. And he really wanted to go to Saudi. So it's like... Do you feel the confusion I felt?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, how do you make sense of that? I didn't know what to say. Well, that's the way it was for all the years I was married to him. And here's this, he's a retired lieutenant colonel, and, you know, and an intelligent person, and yet nothing he said made sense.
Well, I think that's what the problem is, that when you live in a marriage day to day where nothing does make sense, it's kind of like that story I always bring back, Alice in Wonderland, you know, where she flips through a hole and everything is topsy-turvy. Nothing
uh-huh.
is as it appears. And it's
uh-huh.
extremely confusing, and it's easy over a period of time, you know, to strip away whatever sense of reason and rhyme that you have in your head, because nothing makes sense. And, you know, as Misty always says, you know, you're dancing in that circle of crazy.
Yeah.
And even the crazy starts to feel normal because you have nothing to compare it to.
Exactly. Exactly. And you take it hook, line, and sinker as normal. You know there's something wrong, and yet this is his normal. Therefore, it's your normal.
Exactly. And as abnormal as it is, it does become your normal.
It
and
does.
That's, I think, real, that women must realize that if you feel something isn't right, if you feel something's wrong, you know, like women say, I wish I had proof. What more proof do you need except something's not right?
Yeah.
You know, something is wrong in your life. Something's not the way it's supposed to be. And I think that every woman knows how it should be.
Yeah, your gut talks to you. But, you know, there was something not right all along, the verbal, emotional abuse all along. And it had reached a crescendo where I had had enough just of that. But, you know, for some reason, once discovery happened, it was a load off of me. It was such a load off of me because I felt free. I felt now I can be mad. I have a reason. I have a reason to be mad at this guy who has just stolen my life, have played with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And up until then, he doesn't treat me good. I don't know why, but I'm leaving the marriage, and you still are leaving it with the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
still questioning yourself. I mean,
yeah,
I think in those situations, you still question, what could I have done differently? Where did
yeah.
I fail him in the marriage? How come he couldn't
yeah.
love me enough?
Yeah.
You know, what did I do wrong? And once again,
yeah.
internalizing the blame instead of recognizing it. So you're right. You know, the best gift that you can ever get is finding out the truth.
Exactly.
But
as hard as it was the truth, and that was real.
Right. And as hard as it is, it's better than living his lie.
Yeah,
so, Dolly,
and the unreality.
I can't believe that we've already finished our show. I mean, you're just such a wonderful guest.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
Well, tonight you were my co-hostess, not even a guest. So
how about
I really
that?
I really appreciate the fact that you took the time. It's been a long, you know, long hour and a half. And I really appreciate come back and be our guest again because you shed such wonderful insight for other women and inspire them.
Oh, you're very welcome, Bonnie, anytime.
All right, sweetie. So thanks so much. And to everybody who's listening, have a good week, be good to yourselves, and realize that, you know, there's a better life out there. If you're suffering, you have to learn to move away from what's ever holding you down. So have a great week, and I'll be back here next week. And love to all of you, and love to you, Dolly. You're the best.
Thank you, Bonnie. You too.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Bye. Over now. I was...